Gold and Ghana have gone hand in hand for over 1,000 years. It features in our national flag. And our country was known as the Gold Coast by European settlers. But more recently, Ghana has experienced what can best be described as a gold rush that rivals the California gold rush of the mid-19th century. And that gold rush is still taking place. As the value of gold has increased over the last 20 years, so have mining operations in the country, and Ghana has replaced South Africa as the continent's biggest producer of gold. But while it might sound like gold is Ghana's savior, in reality it's fast becoming its curse, as more and more people grapple for their piece of the gold pie and illegal mining wreaks havoc across the country. This is Going for Gold in Ghana on the BBC World Service. I'm Justice Beidou, a journalist based in Accra. I grew up in Subin Hill, a mining community in Ghana's central region. My father worked in the now defunct State Gold Mining Corporation, which had attracted thousands of miners from all around Ghana to come to what then was a small town to take part in the gold rush. Subin Hill, aside from gold, was also a cocoa-growing village. And after the state mines collapsed and my father and several others were laid off, many of the cocoa farmlands were sold out to artisanal miners, some of whom were mining illegally. In Ghana, this is called galamse, the Ghanaian word for gather them and sell.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, very well.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. How are you doing?
To learn more about the history of gold mining in Ghana, I met with Dr. Yao Graham of the Third World Network Africa, who has been involved in miners' rights for over 30 years.
If you step away from all those the more fabulous stories about Mansa Musa and his gold train to Mecca and so on, things like gold were of elite interest, you know, in long-distance trade across the Sahara. The earliest areas of concentration, of course, were the Takwa area. And from very early on, the colonial state was interested in enabling conditions for miners in the Takwa area. In fact, the first administrative district created in this country was Takwa District. The first public hospital built in this country was in Takwa. That shows you the importance of the industry, you know, in terms of the colonial project. Gradually, through legislation and various elements of public policy, locals were driven out of gold production, okay, so that by the Second World War, small-scale mining by locals had been legalized through various measures, and we had gold mines all over the country.
Enoch Adrani is a PhD student at the University of York in the UK who has spent years researching the impact of small-scale mining in Ghana.
Traditionally, the small-scale mining, as we know it, has largely been in about two or three regions, in the Ashanti region and the then Western region. Over the last decade or so, there has been more discovery in different parts of the country. So as we speak now, if you were to look at the map of Ghana, pretty much all the left section, there is some kind of gold mine going on, right from the south to the north. When they get a hint of a large-scale mining company discovering a gold in a particular region, the small-scale operators take it upon themselves to go and search for more gold. And plus, increasingly, it's been realized that, oh, actually, the gold is in more areas than we traditionally thought. You know, it's spread around different geographical locations within the country.
While the majority of Ghana's gold mining is undertaken by large-scale companies from around the world, it's estimated up to 35% is conducted by small-scale miners. The practice is now widespread across the country. The government regulates small-scale artisanal mining, but the illegal equivalent has exploded
It's a gold rush. There is high demand for the gold. So the actors, the galamseys, their modus operandi pretty much is mine as much as I can and as quickly as I can. So their focus is more of getting more gold, finish, move to the next bit. And they have little interest in responsible mining or complying with environmental regulations. So they hardly fill their holes. They don't do any land reclamation. And they don't have any proper approach to dealing with our water bodies. They would pollute it if they have to. There are a lot of them in the sector, more of them than the people with the license. And because a lot of the galamsey operators do carry out the activities in a way that are not responsible, it does have impact on the people with license. They are mining, chasing more of the gold deposits, and they are taking them away. They are not being caught as they are supposed to. They are not being punished as they are supposed to.
I traveled to Kwabing, a town in the eastern region of Ghana. It's about 5 hours' drive from Accra, Ghana's capital. It's a hilly town found in the Etiwa Forest, one of the largest forests in the country. But while its contribution to the environment here in Ghana and West Africa isn't in question, Kwabing's ecosystem is regularly compromised by illegal mining in the area. Nana Oboadie Boateng is a farmer who knows galamsey miners from across the country. He spends much of his time educating them on its dangers and the prospects of alternative careers.
What has been the impact of illegal mining on communities in Kwabing?
Well, it has contaminated the whole community, and at the same time, it is giving an unpleasant living condition, looking at 30 years or 25 years, and then compared to now, I think it is very dangerous. When you go to Kwabing, the kind of things that you see, I don't think any civilized country will entertain such behavior or such a thing. As I'm speaking to you, it is ongoing. It is happening there. People are dying. Little children are falling inside a pit. Farmers are scared to go to farm because pits have been uncovered. And then the forest that is giving us fresh air and it's also helping us getting good water from the wages. Another thing also is being touched, like falling down trees that has not even been matured enough. And this is what is happening there.
Forests are being torn up. Land is being dug up and whole areas show signs of degeneration and decay.
Go to Kwabing right now and see the activity that is going there. Thousands of millions of cocoa trees, they are just cutting it down. They are just digging them all off, looking for gold. And this is the heart of Ghana's economy. Mining has done nothing good for Ghana. If I have the power, like I will stop it today.
So we're just walking through this vast area, which is right in the middle of a thick forest, and in between a place that looks like six different stadiums put together. All of it has the surface of the forest scraped off. You can see bare land and many parts of it is full of dug up holes and puddles of water that have been left here because miners have finished working on them. And as you move, there's sounds of chainsaw at work, and you could hear them from all around within the forest, which shows them that the green forest around us, there's basically people hard at work in them, felling new trees, much of it for lumber, but then also a lot of it is to make way for more fields to be planted just like this one has been.
Kwaku Eduamofa, not his real name, is a galamsey worker in Kutuso, a small village on the outskirts of Kwabin.
Galamsey is a kind of job that if you are very lucky, you can get a lot of money within the shortest possible time to help you fend for your family. But the galamsey does destroy the land. Some of the young people get involved because it's the only source of income there is, especially for those from poor homes or those who are orphans. Some young people have even built their houses through galamsey. And with the high cost of living in the country, the galamsey can be very helpful. The money I get out of galamsey I use to pay my rent, buy clothes and other things. My wife gets money from cocoa and she supports the family for much of the year. But cocoa is harvested yearly, so until then I have to be responsible for my family.
Job opportunities in many parts of Ghana are scarce, and therefore going for gold when it's here in abundance is an obvious route to regular cash.
There
are no jobs in Ghana, especially in the villages. If I were to be in Accra, the capital, I would have been carrying cement as a source of income. But there is nothing like that in the villages. People in the villages are not building either because building logistics are expensive. But people do get enough money from galamsey.
So how much is at stake here in pure money terms? Well, on the day we are recording this program, 1 gram of gold is worth 550 Ghanaian cedis, which is equivalent to £48, 56 euros or $55. Some reports say you can make up to 20,000 within a few weeks.
I do wish I had enough money to stop the galamsey, because galamsey is quite dangerous and I have kids. At times, people lose their lives. But I'm left with no other choice than to do it. I have no other job that can help me support my family. If I did get another job, I could quit the galamsey. But until then, I have to keep on doing galamsey for a living. Again, in some instances where soldiers are clamping down on the miners, people end up dying as they jump into the water as a means of escape.
I caught up with Kweku Eduamofa's wife, Ajua Sa, also not her real name.
49. I'm 49 and a cocoa farmer. We only harvest cocoa yearly, so after harvesting we don't do anything again till the following year. Most of the men are into gold mining, but women here are mostly farmers. Life is difficult with bad roads and light conditions. In this village we really need help. Not sure how it started, but I think mining began here with a big company. There used to be cocoa farms at the place they are mining now, but they uprooted all the cocoa trees to start mining, which posed a major problem for us. They just mine and leave. We don't get benefits from it. There is no school here, so our kids travel to town to school, and that is costly. We really would love to get a school in this town and better roads. That would help a lot. Our major problem is that the pits have not been covered by the miners. We don't have water, so we want the government to help us with a community pipe. We had a river, but the miners contaminated the water, and the river was clear until they started mining. The cocoa is not ready for harvest, though, until a few months' time, around Christmas.
One of the biggest impacts of illegal gold mining in Ghana is contamination of water.
When you're looking more at the work with the mercury that is sometimes used, that's where the danger lies.
Henrys Altink is a professor in modern history at the University of York, which works closely with the University of Ghana.
The bigger companies wouldn't use that, but artisanal small-scale miners will use things like mercury, and that's quite a considerable health hazard, which then, of course, has ramifications for the quality of the water in the community. A lot of farmers, they purchase water because the water is contaminated because of the use of mercury and other chemicals that may be used in the process.
As well as that, the long-term health of people and wildlife is threatened by widespread pollution. The rivers become contaminated, the fish take in the poison, and in turn that infects the humans who buy the fish. It's a vicious spiral of disease. Kwabena Eniakwa is a community leader in Kwabing.
Water in Kwabeng used to be freely available. I would never have thought about sachet water in the old days because we had about 9 streams in this town. Water was in abundance, but it's not the same today. Water in sachets is now our main source. There is no clean flowing water to drink. It is God that is merciful to us that we are not falling sick with the water that we drink in our town now. If the miners covered up every pit after the mining, then we wouldn't have these issues. Mining has not benefited Kwabeng, even though it has been resourceful for Ghana. You see, mining companies haven't developed this town. Our water bodies were destroyed and we haven't even been supplied with a community borehole to replace them.
After visiting Kwabeng, I returned to the capital, Accra, before setting off on an epic car journey to a pharmacy, Akotom, in Ghana's western region. Even though the area is home to some of the biggest multinational mining firms like Gold Fields and AngloGold Ashanti, it has one of the worst roads I have ever traveled on. The journey should take me about 6 hours, but it took me 9. This is part of the many problems people here face.
I'm just heading to the site where people who used to be in Galamsey mines now say they are no more doing Galamsey, helping themselves under a government initiative that is helping them plant oil palm farms.
Unemployment is a major factor in young people turning to Galamsey. But the government launched the National Alternative Employment and Livelihood Program in 2021, which aims to retrain illegal miners.
I'm the project manager for Richie Plantations Limited, Akotom project site.
I spoke to Justice Ebenezer Kesi. Justice employs 400 local people in a pharmacy, Akotom.
We have a set of workers, temporal as well as permanent workers, and then we train them on the day-to-day agricultural practices. And I'm proud to be part of this project.
Tell me about young people here and gold mining.
Everything we know is about gold and gold, nothing more, nothing else. It's so crazy. In fact, it's so crazy. It has been a norm for my grandfathers coming to our parents and then to us. And then our kids too are also in the same process. We all know that gold is money. The little gold you have, when you send it to the refinery, you get huge volumes of money out of it. Our kids are not going to school. All their concentration is on the illegal mining activities, and it is very worrying.
So when I drove on the road, you find that the forest cover has been scraped off. So now that you are planting these trees, what are you hoping for?
I think this project is a step in the right direction, because looking at how our forest zones has been depleted, this is the only way it can, or one of the numerous ways it can help to revamp it. As well as our Galamsey site, which has been destroyed, at least these tree covers can help to, at least our climatic changes and all these things. It's out of this whole mess. So I think it's a step in the right direction, because it is really going to help. Maybe not now, but in the near future, our generations to come will see the impact of this whole project on our society.
The people who leave the Galamsey mines and come here to work, what do they think about this whole thing?
You see, that job, brother, it has not been easy since infancy. Like, people goes in like 10 years, 11 years, 12 years. So convincing them is not a one-day job. So once the person has a passion, once the person is very enthused to come onto the project, that is the most important thing. Comparably, you know, they prefer here to there. Yes, because you come to work early in the morning, like 8, you start to work. After taking your breakfast at lunch, you break for lunch, and then by 1 you resume. By 4 p.m. you are done. You can go anywhere that you feel like going. You can go and meet your family. As compared to those who can be at the mining site like 3 to 4 days without water and then always on medication, bro, it has not been easy for my people. It has really not been easy for my people.
Whilst in a pharmacy, Akotom, I caught up with one of the young people here who used to be a Galamseyer.
I hear one of the we are saying that Richie Plantation, and I say Richie.
I heard about the Richie Plantation and wondered what it was. Then I found it and they employed me, even though I didn't know how to do the job. They trained me bit by bit. It was like being at school again. But now I know how to do my job perfectly.
Now I am perfect.
How many times do you do this in a day? How many times do you do this watering?
This watering a day, if we come one day, we can do this watering finish. We have pipe here. So this one, this watering tank, is the one that the place that if you use the pipe and then the place that the pipe has not gone, then you use the watering tank to water that place. Yeah, so okay. Finish here, then after that I can go and face another one and then I continue.
When you started going into the Galamsey pit, how old were you?
12 years.
I was 12 years old when I first became a Galamseyer. I was very stubborn then and wouldn't listen to my father. He would tell me to go to school and I would get ready. But when he left the house, I would get changed and go to do Galamsey. It was good for making money, but after my father died, I sat down and had to think about what to do for the sake of my younger brothers. I was now responsible for them, and Galamsey is very dangerous, so I decided I had to stop and also not to let them do it either. I want to help create a better future for them. If my younger brother finishes school and needs a job, I would tell him to come here. He wouldn't need to do Galamsey because this job is fine.
You see, yeah, so everything will be fine.
People involved in illegal mining in Ghana are risking their lives every day. Everyone you meet seems to have a story. Assembly member in Kwabin, Otin Ejay.
I myself, I lost a grandchild, 8-year-old child, one Sunday after church service when there was a pit just behind the residential areas.
How did it happen?
They said they gave that land to a miner and then he dug the holes there. So when they came from church, they were playing and they had mud on the hand. So that girl was saying that he was splashing the water to it, and then he fell into it. He died. You see it? He hasn't strayed into the fields. Just like my house, and then you mine behind my house and you leave craters there.
Justice Ebenezer Kesi.
We have people who go beneath like 10 light poles down, 20 light poles down in search of money. That's the gold. And then a majority of them goes and then does not come back. A friend of mine currently is in the morgue right now. Yes, I heard last week that he went down, and then when there's water down, they use pumping machine to pull the water from down. And then you see this carbon dioxide down there, the whole place was just filled with the gas from the pumping machine, and then he was only one day before we realized he didn't come back. They went to search there, and then a smoke had attacked him down, and then he's dead now.
So something happened in my own eyes, I see before.
I've seen it with my own eyes. I was working in a deep tunnel with an inexperienced miner. I think it might have been his first time. Some of the tunnels are very deep and very cramped, so breathing can become difficult. When this happens, you have to dig very quickly to get the gold and then leave as quickly as possible so you can breathe properly again. The inexperienced miner was sitting on a rock, waiting for me to finish so we could both go back up into the open. When I finished mining, I called to him for us to go, but he didn't respond. When I checked him, he looked like he was resting, but he'd suffocated due to lack of oxygen. Then I realized he's dead.
Flat. He's dead. He's dead.
The paths that they tread to their farms, at times it is between two craters. So the little slip, you are gone. A lot of drowned in this community, in the mines. And how much do they pay? Peanuts. A 17-year-old boy drowned. And how much did the contractor pay? 2,000 Ghana cedis. What is it? So, in fact, there's nothing good story to tell about mining here. And they are still in it.
The government in Ghana has deployed the military in the operations to clamp down on illegal mining. People can be arrested, prosecuted, and jailed. And last year, the government began a national campaign to remove people and logistics in mining from Ghana's water bodies. Here's President Akufo-Addo addressing the issue of Galamsey in June this year.
There are still some who have vowed to seek only their selfish parochial interests at the expense of the collective national interests. These are those who pay no regard to the sanctity of our forests, water bodies, or environment. Let me assure them, the government will not relent in its efforts to flush them out of the ecosystem. In accordance with Article 36, Clause 9 of the Constitution of the Republic, government will continue to deploy appropriate measures needed to help protect and safeguard our national environment for posterity.
But despite multiple attempts by the Ghanaian government to curtail illegal mining activities across the country, there seemed to be no let-up in the number of people turning to Galamsey. Whether environmental concerns, including the specter of climate change, force tougher clampdowns, remains to be seen. What I know is that the desperate grapple for gold continues to create a real and destructive divide in my country. I am Justice Beidou in Accra, and you've been listening to Going for Gold in Ghana. The producer was Kurt Brooks, and it was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service.